I want you to listen to me real closely. This resurrection dance has possibility of doing something for our city, for the believers in this city, that all the meetings, the revival meetings, the big let's come together and love Jesus and one another meetings have never been able to accomplish in this city. Now, out on that table are two lists. There's one, and the Lord convicted me this morning because my name's not on either one of them. Number one, I was trying to make up my mind. I don't want to do this dance or not, you know. Am I going to be like at camp? I never did a time at camp. I was too busy taking pictures. It's fun. It's really fun doing it. But I realize some of us, we're physically not going to be able to do it. You know, you just can't do it. But that isn't the only people that are going to be there at the park. We got many other things. The presence. So there are two lists. One of them is, you know, I can't dance, but I'll do some other. I can do some other things. Now, I can't dance either, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to be there as part of the group because I feel like it's important. I know some of you think, oh, man, you do this on Sunday morning. Yes, we do. And I asked Terry to do this because I think it's that important. I think it's that important. And this isn't about building up the reputation of Sycamore Church. In fact, we're trying, other than just having to tell people, because they say, well, who started? What church did this start? You know, they want to know that. But this isn't so that we can proselyte from other churches, that is, nab people from other churches. Now, that's not what this is about. This is about putting all that aside and let's be the church in Savannah. And wouldn't it be wonderful to send this back to Budapest? I mean, just a great, great opportunity. And all those meetings I talked to you about, I know about all of them because I've been to all of them. And it hasn't succeeded yet. We're still in our little boxes all over Savannah. And I believe God wants to do more than that, don't you? To get beyond denominational, economic, racial, you know. Praise God, I hope we're beyond a lot of that in our church. that's not even an issue. The only time I believe it's an issue is when somebody makes it an issue. And you can't do anything about that. But as far as it being an issue for the church, yeah, that's the way Savannah needs to be. You know, great evangelist Whitfield didn't exactly have a great time here. Now, I know Bethesda will start, but you don't remember any great meetings where the Spirit fell with Whitfield while he was here in Savannah. It just didn't happen. Wesley, John Wesley, another great that was here, left Savannah under cover of night. And, you know, there's been a spirit over this city that I don't believe has been pleasing to God. I believe God wants to do more in this city. And so you be praying about all that. I believe this is more than just, and I know what some of you are thinking. I know what you're thinking. You think, well, that's a silly thing to be doing. Why don't you take that up with God? Because I don't think it's silly. And I can't dance a lick. All right. Do you hear my heart? And I'm not saying this to try to manipulate you into anything because, you know, what you can manipulate somebody into, you can manipulate them out of very quickly. I just think it's a great thing. And I know the Spirit of God. And I know you're thinking, well, this was Terry's idea. No, this started as God spoke to John Bonifacio. I hadn't seen John dance lately. He was kind of moving. I think the bears were moving back there. But
he was testing that structure pretty good.
At the dancing bears. Oh, isn't God good? Oh. Oh, I just tickle myself sometimes. The instructional video is going to be out there too, right?
Yep.
Right, John? On the website, and we can run them to that. But this is these sheets that has a lot of copy. That's everything you need to know about how to do it is on those sheets. And then another promo sheet. So catch one as you go out. Okay. Hit it, John. Let's get our definition one more time. And I want to try to wrap this up for you today. I'm not finished with this. We'll have to come back to this and hit this again. Let me get close enough here. All right. Here's our working definition of spiritual gifts. They're special abilities given by the Holy Spirit, not by man, not manipulated by man, to every believer according to God's grace, and the root of the word charismata, gifts, great, it is, they are grace gifts. They come out of the grace of God. That means getting something you don't deserve. That's the definition of grace. Go back to that, John. I'm not finished reading that. There we go. And John's going through all of them for you so you can remember. All right, here we go. To every believer, according to God's grace and design for use in these three things. Remember what three things are? Exalting Christ. What's the next one? Edifying the church. That is building up the church. And evangelizing the secular world. So this. Almost like a dance. Okay. Now, last week we said, how many of you have taken the gift inventory? By now, okay. It's out on the net. You can download it. If you have problems with that, we'll get you a hard copy. All right. There are five things that we encourage you to do. These five steps. Number one, explore the possibilities. That is, be open that God may want to give you one of these. Secondly, experiment with as many gifts as possible. Third, examine your feelings. Take inventory. What's God saying? Fourth, evaluate your effectiveness. And then fifth, expect confirmation from the body. Now, several things as we summarize and conclude today. The church, probably at large, has fears about spiritual gifts. Now, why would the church fear spiritual gifts? Well, number one, because of the unknown. A lot of us are thinking, well, what do you think God might do to me? Well, He's the one who created you. I think He would have your best interest at heart all the time and the interest of others. Another reason, because we don't know the Bible. I want you to know we've given you many, many scriptures. All of this teaching is well documented in Scripture. But are we practicing the Scripture? I know I have some brothers in the faith, some pastor brothers in the faith that are diametrically opposed to me on this issue. That they want to read out of the Bible certain gifts and say, that's not for today. That's not what the book says. And if you're going to shake the book up in the air and say, oh, I'm an inerrantist. I believe in every word, every jot and tittle. Well, then let's look at it and let's see what it says. Another fear that the church has is the release of the ministry into the hands of the people. Great quote by Leonard Ravenhill. Oh, it's been 20, 25 years ago. He said, the first great reformation took place when the Bible was unchained from the pulpit. And the Word of God was released on the street for people to read. You know, what was the first book published under the Gutenberg press? What was it? It was the Bible. And it got into the language of the people. He said, that's the first great reformation. He said, the second great reformation is going to take place when the ministry is unchained from the pulpit. Now, if you've been with us very long, this is something we believe and we practice. Releasing the ministry. And how are you going to do the ministry unless you're equipped? And how are you going to be equipped unless the Spirit of God equips you? And how are you going to have that equipment unless you've been given spiritual gifts by God? And we've seen from Scripture that 1 Corinthians 12, we've seen in Ephesians 4, we've seen in Romans 12, over and over again, that gifts have been given to us to use. There's another reason why we're afraid of the gifts. Now I'm going to jump on the other side. I've jumped on evangelicals pretty hard during this time. I'm going to jump on charismatics now. Because I truck with both of them. A lot of, just like evangelicals zero in on certain gifts, charismatics zero in on certain gifts and forget about the rest. You know, God doesn't only deal in the sign gifts, He deals in all of them. Your teaching, helps. These are very, leadership, these are very important gifts. All of, it's all the above. You see, and that's why you'll see some, I believe somewhere on our website, that I term our church as, if you got to describe us, I'd call us empowered evangelicals. Yes, we're thoroughly evangelical, but we believe in all the gifts. All of them. Now, are we perfect? No. No, we're not. Now, I want you to listen to me closely. You have at least one spiritual gift. And in most cases, then I ask you the question, what are you doing with it? Now, if you took that spiritual gift inventory, what you realized was as you did the range and you looked at the numbers and all, and by the way, let me remind you again, you know, though I think that inventory is thoroughly biblical, it is not inerrant. Okay? It's a guide for you. But on that guide, you saw, that inventory, you saw that there was a range on there of some that you scored very high on and some very low. And then some in between. Now, can God give you any gift that is in His Word? What's the answer to that question? Okay. When can He do that? All right, say it, Briony.
Anytime He wants to.
Okay, there you go. I want you to hear that. Why can He do that? Because He's
God.
And we're not. So we start with Him. And it's amazing how at times when times are that you come to a point and the air seems pregnant with things that are going on, it's like there in Esther, for such a time as this, God's brought you to the kingdom, equipped you. And why wouldn't He use the gifts that are appropriate to the time and where you are? Because God has all of this at His disposal. That's why I'm saying to you, We've got to be ready to be open for God to give us what He wants to give. Now, they're not static. That is, well, I got this gift or these couple of gifts, and it's going to remain the same. Those of you that have taken the gift inventories, you've been doing it for years. Have you seen some change in your gifts? Some get higher, some get lower. Imagine that. But God is doing that. And we're to be praying. I hope you remember this scripture. At 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, speaking forth the Word of God, revealing the Word of God. But it says desire spiritual gifts. Why would you want to desire spiritual gifts? Is it so that you can consume them on yourself? No. It's so that we can be a gift to other people. If you go back to that Ephesians 4 passage, when it speaks of apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, I'm leaving one out. It's five. Prophets. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he talks about giving gifts to men. What's one of the primary gifts that he gives to other men? Us. Because we are the container of the gifts. Imagine that. God using you as a gift to other people. Imagine that. And God starts with that. So if you're thinking, well, I don't have all of this right, and I hadn't studied enough, and I don't know if God's, hey, get your heart right with God. And yeah, it's going to be a little messy, but let God flow through you and let Him use your gifts as you give yourself, as Jesus gave Himself first. That's the primary gift. It's us giving ourselves to God and therefore giving ourselves to others. And it's amazing what will happen. Next thing. Your gifts have been given to you 24/7. It's a shame that the church has locked in the practice of the gifts to a building. You call that an edifice complex. God has not called us to that. He has called us to be released to the world. What did they say in the book of Acts? When they saw what was going on in another town, said, these people that have turned the world upside down, they're coming to our town. You know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you heard that from Savannah, Georgia? These people that have turned the world, they're coming to our town. That's a great thing. Because could our town use what Jesus has to offer? Here's another musing, if you will. We must get rid of the false theology that there is a division between secular and sacred. Think with me here. Because we always, well, there's sacred music and, well, there's secular music. Oh, that's sacred over there, but this is secular here. Hogwash. Mumbo jumbo created by man so that man can dichotomize his life and keep God at arm's length and say, God, it's okay for you to be over here in the sacred part of my life, but my secular life belongs to me. Which part should he be a part of? All of it. Kind of like that lady asked when the guy died, how much did he leave? All of it. How much of it belongs to God? All of it. So we've got to treat the moments that we're here listening to God in this large group as we gather as believers here. Yes, we have respect for that time. But can God speak to us when we're at work? Can the Holy Spirit of God come and just anoint you with power when you're at work to practice your gifts? You better believe it. Now, I'm not calling on you to be weird in the name of Jesus. I'm not calling on you to be that. I'm not calling on you to do that. But I'm calling on you to use the gifts to practice what God has given you. He has given you these gifts so that you can give them away. He put it in your hand. How much did Jesus give? How much of his life did he give? That means that you've got to start looking at your life differently. You've got to start looking at your job as your mission field, and the pay that you get there is God's way of funding your ministry. So that you put on Christ as you go into the world and they see the power of God coming through your life. That's what's going to change Savannah, Georgia. That's what's going to change this city. Not so that the Sycamore Church can build this city on a hill thing that everybody comes into. That attractional model is dying right under our noses right now. And the world is asking, are you going to come to me with the gospel? Where did Jesus go? He went everywhere. He went to where the people were. And God is sending us out right now. Are we answering the call? With our gifts. Let me ask you this. Are there hurting people in your life, in your family? Are there people whose lives are turned upside down? Your neighbors? Is their life a hellhole? Is there people around? Are you just covered up in that? I called John the other day. I was out at Sam's. He preached a sermon back to me. I said, I'm here waiting to get tires put on the car, burning some time. He said, well, dust, just remember, every trip to Sam's isn't to get stuff. Have you heard that before? Huh? He did that in the spirit of Jesus, you know. Do you get it? Do you get it? That's why. As we think about what God's doing in the church in the world today, in other countries, that's why they can't stamp it out of existence. That's why they can't persecute it away. That's why when government comes in and has controls over here and says, well, you can't do it this way, it just pops up somewhere else. Because God is releasing it, His body, onto the world. And they hadn't seen anything like this before. For such a time as this, God's brought you to the kingdom. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Don't do this paw on the ground, all shucks. That's garbage. That's false humility. And that's an embarrassment to God. He's big enough to save you. And He's big enough to gift you and use you where you are. Now, are you going to be the mouthpiece? Oh, I can't stand up there like you. God called you to do that. God's called you to do what He's called you to do. To be the person of God where you are. Use your gifts. What are you going to do about it? I want to pray for you. Pray for me. Hey, Some of you are thinking, well, Dusty, you think you've arrived. No, I don't. God is continuing to teach me and sometimes to take me to the woodshed. He said, well, you've been to seminary. Not a thing on that list I shared with you today did I learn when I was in seminary. It's not to denigrate my seminary. It was great. Great experience. But it's just a tool. Are you willing to be God's tool? That's what the gifts are about. Being used by Him. All right, let's pray. Just a moment, we're going to open the altar and you can come, and if you want to be prayed for, want someone to pray for you, you're desiring a specific spiritual gift, you want to be anointed, and let's pray over you. We'll do that today. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to do that. Today is the day of salvation. If you've not received Christ, you can do that today. Or if you need prayer and your life just seems to, pardon the French, be going to hell in a handbasket right now, and you need some relief, maybe you want to be prayed for today. Or maybe you want to pray today and thank God for what He's done in your life. We'll do that with you, and we'll praise the Lord with you today. Lord, I thank You. Thank You for this day. I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You that You're speaking. I thank You that, Lord, You love us enough that not only did You die for us and You secured our salvation, but You want us to have a life rich and full and free and abundant and to live in that spiritual life so that the people around us get wet with the overflow, God. And I pray that. I pray that kind of anointing on our church, Lord, in the city and upon all the people who call on the name of Jesus, who truly worship You in spirit and in truth and honor the Word of God and believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. I'm asking You, God, to bless all of those ministries today, all of those churches. Lord, in the places where we think, oh, we're the only ones. God, I pray that You're going to raise up and show us there are many that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal that belong to Jesus today. I'm asking You, Lord, to do that through us, to do Your work. May the power of God come upon this city, come upon Your people, come upon us as believers in You, Lord, in the still small voice and in the big loud voice, God, both and You use it all. I'm asking You to do it today in Jesus' name. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. You got a prayer request from Bev about her sisters, and she had something she wanted to share with you today.
Just to repeat real quick, on July 6th, my sister Eden gave my sister Susie a kidney. We were at Emory Hospital. They were there almost a week and then went home. And a couple days later, they both ended up back in the hospital for a few more days. But they are both home doing very, very well. And it's been a miracle, truly. We had some bumps in the road, but they're both headed in the right direction. God was with us every moment. And to know that all of you are here praying for all of us by name on our behalf, that you had my back, meant the world to me. I just want to thank you so much for that. The first morning after the surgery, I walked into one of my sister's rooms, and one of the techs said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the other sister, Bev." And she said, "I'm Pat, and my grandchildren are praying for you by name." And threw her arms around me, and she now wants to come to our house for Thanksgiving. She's part of our family. We were very, very blessed. And when Dusty talked about sacred, that's how it was. The whole experience was a very sacred experience for my family to experience. And we thank you all for sharing it with us. And I ask for your continued prayers for my sisters as they continue to recover. So thank you so much.
That's right. Give the Lord a hand. Bless you, Lord. How many of you had an answer to prayer this past week? Put your hands up. Let's see them. All right. Lord, I'm asking You right now. I thank You for these answers to prayer. And I'm praying right now You'll send us out from this building that we're in. We're not bound, Lord, to a building. We're bound to You. Let us experience the power of God at our jobs, in our home, at work, at play, wherever we go, Lord. Gifted people of God. calling out to you. Use us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Da 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 da